Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Jones. Good morning. Happy Advent 3. How do you respond to that one, huh? How about joy?
Joy!
Joy! Right, this is the Joy Sunday. Now you can't forget it. You'll see the scripture readings will speak about God's joy coming back to God's people, which is what the Advent is also pointing us to. Not only the first coming of the Lord Jesus, but the second coming still anticipated, but every day of our life to be lived in the power of joy that Christ gives us uniquely in himself. So this day, as we gather to worship, we're also going to be lighting the Advent candle, which we can do now. And Joyce, if you'll please light it. I read with you a passage out of Psalm 84. If you read the Psalms, the 150 of them, there's many emotional moods that we believers have in relationship to life and God. But hear this particular one from verse 2, chapter 84. My soul longs, indeed faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord of our lives, we come before you in lives filled with all kinds of complex feelings and moods, but still understanding that we are supported and sustained by you, the living Lord, the Lord of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Sustain us and bring us to a completeness of joy found in life, grounded in you and in the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the joy of this life, we pray. Amen. Three candles have now been lit for those on the radio. We will sing all three verses of Light One Candle to Watch for Messiah. Three verses, please rise. We continue with the liturgy of confession, forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the parent who rouses us from slumber, the shepherd who gathers us on the holy mountain, and the deliverer who sets us free. Amen. So let us come before this living God of ours in confession together. As we wait and watch for the promised day of salvation, we open our hearts to you, O God. Search us and know us. Reveal all that we keep inside to you, O God. We confess our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us into your ways of justice and peace. Make us reflections of the radiant love of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved children of the Most High, you are gathered before the righteous judge who bears mercy on all. Splash exuberantly in the waters of your baptism, where sin is washed away in the river of life. Dwell peacefully in the loving arms of the one who nurtures all creation. Go forth boldly in the assurance that your sins are forgiven in the name of the one who is coming and is already here, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Our gathering hymn for this day is Prepare the Royal Highway, page 4. We sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hymn of praise this day, verses 1 and 4. My praise, my soul, the God of heaven. 1 and 4.
Thank you.
We continue to page 6. The Lord be with you. If you'll join me in a prayer for this day, we pray together. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace, we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have the reading of God's word this day. Kathy Cole, first reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading comes from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. In this reading, the prophet describes the return from the Babylonian captivity as a joyous procession to Zion. God's coming reign will bring a renewal of creation in which health and wholeness will be restored. There is no need for fear, for God is coming to save. The reading begins. The wilderness
and the dry
land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus,
it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. And substituting for Scott Pike, this is not Skike in miniature. Scott. It is Marsha. He's hunting.
In anticipation of the Lord's coming, Christians are called upon to cultivate patience rather than discontent. The second reading comes from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. This is the word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Marcia. If you're able to stand for the gospel and its acclamation. Together we speak. Hallelujah. I am sending my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you. Hallelujah. Gospel text for this third Sunday of Advent, Matthew. 11th chapter, beginning with the second verse. Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples to Jesus and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" So Jesus answered them so that they would go back and go and tell John what you hear, what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. So as the disciples of John walked away with that instruction, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about this person, John the Baptizer. "What did you go in the wilderness to look at? Was it a reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear the soft robes, they're in the royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Oh, yes. And I tell you, even more than a prophet. This is the one to whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.'" Jesus went on to say, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptizer. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. The theme of the day, as I said at the beginning of the service, is one of joy. And I dare say for many people who have recently or anticipatorily are looking at sadness, grief, and pain, suffering, you kind of say, it's almost like pulling salt on a wound. How can you expect people to rejoice when their hearts are heavy and they're experiencing pain? Well, first off, we would say in life, as well as in the scriptural accounts, no generation ever had an easy life. No generation nor individuals made it through this life unscathed and without pain. No individuals went through life without grief and sadness. And even our Lord Jesus Christ understood what that was as he walked this earth too. So joy. It was a book I read many years ago, but it has certainly shaped my personality and my understanding. It was called To Kiss the Joy. Let that trickle in. Joy is temporary. You know, people quest that we can live in a life of total joy. Well, it's not going to happen on this side of the resurrection. Would that it could, but with sin, it gets damaged. What then can we say? We can say joy does come, but it doesn't come to stay because of the circumstances of life before the grave. But joy does come. So the author of the book, from a Christian point of view, says, when joy comes in those breakthrough moments, kind of like the sun on a day, like we've been running weeks with all deep clouds, I know when the sun breaks through, even if it's only for 3 minutes, I thank God for it. And it's like, it's still alive up there, even if we don't see it. I know you're there, peekaboo. So too in life, when joy breaks through, don't think it's going to stay long, but appreciate the fact that God is good, and God sustains us with breakthrough moments to remind us a new day is coming. That's what Advent is. A new day is coming. So in the first reading we've been doing, this is the third week of Isaiah, we've used as our Old Testament reading. I just want to say, and again, about the return to the land, that which was desolate and equally observant, that it would be unproductive, no chance of ever producing again, would one day produce. In this time, this place, in our lifetime, that has happened in Israel. That has come to pass. Just as promised 2,000 years before, life has come back to the land. It is producing as God said it would one more time. And it's like, oh, this is glorious, but what does that have to do What means God does deliver on the promises. It also says when God comes back, don't expect to be scolded this time. Expect to be vindicated. That is to be put right, not because of self or we deserved it, but because God is faithful to God's promises. I think a lot of times you discipline a dog, a cat, you tell them, don't do that, or you swat them once to try to get them to alter their behavior. Just as a parent would do for a child to try to guide them in the way that they should go and choices they should make, so too it creates sometimes a sense of fear of that parent. The one who's forced to be, as my wife and I called each other, the good cop, bad cop. Who's going to be the good cop? Who's going to be the bad cop this time? So that it doesn't get stereotyped to be one of us is always the bad cop, or always the good one who's merciful and just doesn't set limits. The understanding both are responsible ways to parent. And certainly when it comes to the day when the Lord comes, there's going to be a sense of fear and awe, A-W-E. And that's a legitimate word in the Old Testament, New Testament, to be filled with awe, awesomeness of God. Not fear and trembling. Luther says, when you obey the commandments, we should fear and love God. That's not fear of, oh, he's going to hit me again. But it's sense of power, creation ability, and yet he has found mercy and presence to love me as I am. That's the awe that's spoken by Luther in the explanation of the commandments. And it's also a day in which new behaviors will take place. For the Messiah that Isaiah speaks of, when that event takes place, when the presence of the Lord is on his anointed one, there's going to be some changes. How will you know it's him? He's going to restore the eyes of the blind. I always like the testimony of those who have cataract surgery or miraculously have surgery or complementary medical care, and that which was problematic vision has become wonderful vision again. And they're just so thankful. I have vision again. The eyes of the blind are open. The ears of the deaf. You see on science and TV, people who have never heard a thing in their lifetime, whether as a young person or as a senior citizen, they now have an implant, an ocular implant, an ear and eye kind of thing, where they can have restoration of the neural connectors to the brain to sense what it's like to hear. And it's like, oh, the first time a child hears its parent's voice, first time a parent hears the child's voice. Have that sense as the always operating condition in life. The lame shall leap like a deer. I hope they're leaping in front of Scott Pike and not getting shot. They leap high, they're powerful, mighty legs. Soar beyond what you and I can ever dream of doing. Tongue of the speechless will sing for joy. All the natural encumbrances that hinder the quality of life here are going to be undone, corrected, whether it was by birth or circumstances or trauma, disease, gone. This verse is going to be important to the gospel. So hold it to there. We'll pick it up. So likewise, it goes on to say, there'll be no more enemies. The lions, you remember last week's Isaiah text, the child will put his hand over the hole of a serpent and he will not get bit. A lion will lay down with the lamb and not be dinner. And all those kind of unnatural occurrences will become natural because the whole order of what we have seen in this broken world is going to be fixed. The ransom of the Lord shall be returned, they shall come back with singing. Everlasting joy will be upon their heads. I don't know if you and I can imagine, but if you think back after the Holocaust, World War II, Jews restreaming across Europe and the United States to get back to Israel, now that a nation would cut out of the partitions of Palestine, the Ottoman Empire, and say by United Nations establishment, you shall be a nation again, called Israel. As they flocked there, their lives spared from the Holocaust and the prison camps and their relatives who had died there. They were able to see a new day, a promised nation to be reborn, and going back to the homeland. You think they were sad? I think they were dancing and cheering that God had finally done what Isaiah spoke of. I don't know if we Christians could ever take seriously the joy of the Lord, but the people who came back from the Holocaust were thankful not only of their life and their family's life and the sadness that they left behind, but so happy they were going to a better place, a new land promised to God 2,000 years before. So this day will be established by God's doing. And when the messenger comes to you, he's going to bring you ways to reconnect yourself to your God. You ever feel disjointed? I always use the phrase, feel far from God? Guess who moved? It wasn't God. We shift, we're slick, and we think we're pulling it off on God, and we're hardly doing that. God knows we're trying to play hide and seek just like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. In the second reading, you have the Apostle James, brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, or shall we call him stepbrother. He writes about the church and life in this in-between time. What do I mean by in-between? It means between the first coming and the ascension of our Lord Jesus and the return of the Lord Jesus. These are the in-between years. They'll never happen again in history. They're happening now while you and I are alive. And then Christ will come, and it'll all be done. So in these in-between times, James, brother of our Lord, says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until he receives the early and late rains. You must also be patient. I shared with you more than one time in those years that Cheryl and I lived in North Dakota, the beginning of my ministry and my calls to ministry. It had not rained, and I'm serious, not one drop of water fell from the sky for 18 months. Now, you're not dealing with professional people. You're not dealing with people who have other jobs. Their job was agriculture. 12th month, they said, Pastor, what can we do about this? I said, I don't know. I'm not a farmer. And they said, well, we're going to go back to school, and we're going to learn how to produce a new crop, the durum wheat and all the grains, because they require a certain amount of moisture. They problem solved. They went to the University of North Dakota, many other schools, to find out what crop could be raised on the fields of North Dakota. They were told most likely the most successful crop will be sunflowers. Here's the reason. Sunflowers shoot their root system down to get available moisture 10 feet under the earth, to suck up all available moisture to enable the header to be part of that sunflower. And these are the mammoth ones, you know, 16, 24 inches big. And they would be used for sunflower oil, safflower. Recognition was they had to retool all their equipment. They had to change different harvesting and equipment, all kinds of shifts, just so that they could have a crop. Now, they were using technology, they were using science, they were doing everything, but any other society would not have had that advantage, if you can call that an advantage. But they had to problem solve, trying to be patient. They came to me one time before the end of 16 months, and they said, Pastor, can we do a prayer service for rain? I said, we Lutherans usually have a service for everything, but I never saw one in seminary for rain. Kind of feel like an Indian witch doctor. Call together and go in a powwow and call together and say, Lord, bring this rain down now. Kind of Elijah, the Old Testament. Well, in the course of things, we did do a prayer service. And the rains did come 2 months later. You and I would have given up and we would have cursed God, because when the farmers went to the banks to refinance another crop, because that's what farmers have to do, every year they have to sign notes for hundreds of thousands of dollars to plant seeds that they may never see grow. How would you like to take that risk? And so they said, okay, we're going to trust it's going to rain. Last year it didn't, but
but this year we believe it can. So they proceeded again to plant a crop. And thanks be to God, the rains came. Since then, besides them being the number one producer of durum wheat, which you and I love for pastas, and flax, they produce the most sunflower seed oil in the world. God somehow has a way of turning things around, which were bad. Be patient and wait upon the Lord, as David says in so many of the Psalms. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. Second reading. But don't grumble, right? The key. The gospel text, Matthew. It's an interesting one because if you really give it consideration, as we did Wednesday in our Bible study, this is the first time you even sense that John, who comes on so strong in the gospel lesson 2 weeks ago, hey, you brood of vipers, who warned you to run from destruction? You Pharisees, you Sadducees, God is ready to burn you down for your faithlessness, your stubbornness, your egos, your pride. Well, different point of view now. He's in jail. He knows his fate is sealed, and Jesus is out here making a public preaching ministry. Well, John's sitting in the prison to be beheaded by Herod. In the course of time, John has normal human questions. Jesus, my cousin, you know, we're bond hip, and I know you're the Messiah, but, you know, I still have questions. You have not forthrightly come out and said that you are the one who's been prepared by John. Are you the one? Jesus sends back the disciples of John without a yes or a no. Oh, is he ignorant? Or did he answer him? The only ones who would know that is those who know Isaiah. Because Jesus' answer was affirmative, affirmative. You tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind have vision restored. The deaf now hear. Those who couldn't speak are talking fluently. Those who couldn't move and were crippled, they're jumping like a deer. You pass that message back, what you have heard and what you have seen. That's my answer. Now, if you were sitting in that prison and you knew your head was going to be on a chopping block, and did your life really matter? Would you think Jesus addressed your answer, your question? You'd have to understand the scripture, God's word, or you'd never get the message. Jesus screened the answer. Yes, John, I am he. But the world cannot see me. The world cannot comprehend what I am doing. It is such a hidden work of God. But it is coming, the day of the Lord. With all that information, John is left in the prison. We don't know that there's any more communication. Like, Jesus, that was a nice answer, but I don't know what that meant. You and I might have texted Jesus and said, what the heck did that mean? That didn't happen. But indeed, the answer was yes, I am he. So with that in mind, Jesus goes on to say something about John. Okay, who is John? Well, we see him come on the scene. We know he baptizes Jesus. He's a prophet of God. He's now a doubter of Jesus. But who is he? Jesus says, look, this is not just any person. This is an important person. He's high on the scales of Old Testament prophets. But you know, those of you who come through faith in me, you are going to be above him. And understanding what this new work of God, this new creation God is doing in me, that you'll get the picture too, for you'll be in a blessed relationship with me. With all that put together, we understand a change in the kingdoms are taking place. Gentle and rough, maybe. The old is passing away. Behold, the new is coming. John's reign and message of baptism with confession is going to give way to baptism with water and spirit in Jesus Christ. You and I are people who have received much. We have been blessed. Not only do we have the information of who Christ is, and we understand the riddle, he returned back to John. But we understand God is faith. God is faithful, God is graceful, and God gives us the joy that endures through all time. Even though in this time we kiss it just periodically when it breaks through like the sunlight, through the massive clouds that are around us in this lifetime. May the God of grace, the one who breaks through with joy and promise and salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be with us. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the Day, page 11, we sing. Service continues at the affirmation of our faith. If you'll please rise. We affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers by Marcia.
Keeping awake as we watch for Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy God, we rejoice that your promises take on flesh in Jesus. Grant patience to your church awaiting the fulfillment of your reign of justice and peace. Restore in us the hope that we are called to proclaim to the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Life-giving God, we rejoice that you coax flowers from the desert and water from the wilderness. Send rain to parched fields and sun to flooded plains. Nurture all that lies sleeping under frozen ground. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, we rejoice in your authority as Prince of Peace. Deliver us from those who wield power through unjust and oppressive ways. Raise up prophets to speak your truth in this and every nation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we rejoice that you dwell in human bodies. Renew signs of your joyful presence in people of all shapes, sizes, ages, and abilities. Lord, we pray for those who are dealing with any illness or disease, and those recovering from surgery or facing surgery, especially Jarrett Lucas, Bev Chittister, Patricia May, Donna Taylor, Lisa Slider, Joel Colhart, Annie Gardner, Sharon Ruff, Lori Parker's nephew, Chris, and her sister, Myrna. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Generous God, we rejoice that you create us to praise you. Strengthen the voices and hands of all who prepare to celebrate Christ's birth with music, dancing, and proclamation in worship and in the community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember and pray for those serving our nation, both here and overseas, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sullier, Faye Wright, and for those returning from the service and returning into our community. Eternal God, we rejoice that all who die in Christ are raised to new life. We thank you for the lives of those who have prepared the way for us and have now joined the great cloud of witness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation that in each day and hour we may love and serve our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts which enable the ministry in Christ's name. Amen. So, as we come together, give you some updates. Now, we're not done receiving your gifts up through Christmas, but at council meeting, Marcia was able to report to us at that point. So far for World Hunger, as of Tuesday, we had $1,110, I'm sure more has come in, for World Hunger, okay, that we celebrate towards our goal of $1,200. The other gifts that have been coming in are those inserts to your bulletin again. $1 equals $6 worth of purchasing power for the needy of our community through the Blue Water Food Depot, St. Vincent de Paul. And we have received $465 as of Tuesday night. So you do the multiplier factor of six, it's considerable. So we thank you for your generosity, and we encourage those who have not responded to please act so that we can do it for the sake of our Lord as a gift to Christ. Christmas poinsettias is another insert to your bulletin for that. For those who haven't read it or heard the discussions, we had decided at November's church council meeting that these are artificial poinsettias. So that means you don't take them home after Easter, after Christmas with Epiphany, but they'll stay and be stored for the next year. The contribution of $11 when it has paid for these flowers will be used for the Blue Water Food Depot, as we do every year. Okay, so
anything in excess is going to be used for them. It doesn't sit in our kitty, accumulate some imaginary interest. It gets used for Lord's work in this community we serve and live in. So that is in your bulletin. You see, the radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Tony Gaines and Judy Avers. Thank you, Judy, for sponsorship of this radio broadcast to the community. This last Thursday, our Savior's group, we hosted the meal for approximately 68 people over at St. John United Church of Christ, the second of three Advent luncheons. So we were happy to do that, and it was a hit. Program was by Jason Pittman, pastor of First Presbyterian Church, and he always does a wonderful job. And he's a real gift to this community too, and we thank him. And we thank you for that participation we have with their sister churches. This has been around for about 5 years with Lenten luncheons. Last year we added the Advent luncheons and it's been well attended. So continue to be aware, tell your family, your friends. You know, Lutherans get along with other Christians. This is not a new thing, but it is the work of God among us, healing his body, the church. Many other things, the flowers on the altar presented there. And in your bulletin, you have a list of people and dates. For those on radio, worship for us on December 24th, Christmas Eve, is at 4 p.m. It's 7 o'clock, the second service and last one for the evening is going to be radio broadcast. So we're going to be on WPHM and podcast WPHM.net. For Christmas Eve. So if you get up the next day and you want to hear a service for Christmas Day, turn on your dial, turn on your computer, your pad, you will hear us. It will be as if we are sitting in your living room. Okay? That's the gift of technology. Many other things in your bulletin, please read, respond to them. Many opportunities for ministry. Still one more Advent luncheon this next Thursday at 12 noon. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. If you'll please rise, we sing, "Change My Heart, O God."
Let us pray. Giver of every good thing, we set before you the gifts that you have already given to sustain our lives and to share with others. Help us to be good stewards of the earth and all that is in it, and let our lives be a testimony to the abundant feast you prepare for all who hunger.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to all his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me."
So it's with this bread and it's with this cup. We remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come now with joy to Emmanuel's table, feast at the banquet of hope and of love. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We sing during distribution. You'll be guided by the deacons to come.
Marcia. Nope, not. This is the body of Christ.
For you, Marcia, take and eat.
Amen.
This is Christ's blood shed for you, Marcia.
Amen.
Depart in our Lord's peace. Jeremy and myself, Pastor, receive sacrament.
Pastor, body of Christ.
Amen.
Jeremy, body of Christ. The blood of
Amen.
You've received the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By his death and resurrection, he has made full satisfaction of all your sins. Depart in the Lord's peace.
Amen. Service continues from page 21. Top of the page, please rise with the blessing. And now, may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forevermore.
Amen. God of abundance, we give you thanks that in this holy meal, you have invited us to feast with you and one another. May the taste of your love remain with us. And may our words and our work in your name invite others into our bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ our Savior.
Amen. May God, who gathers us in love, lead you in pathways of righteousness and justice. May God, who knows us more deeply than we even know ourselves, lead you in pathways of forgiveness and freedom. May God, who fills us with good things, lead you in pathways of equity and abundance. And the blessing of Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you, remain with you forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, fitting for the theme of joy, Joy to the World, we sing.
Service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.